Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And before Trevor and I get things started this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's interview with Jays head coach Damon Wells.
Well, we'll go back to last week real quick. So just what do you think the biggest positive you guys did last week?
We won. That was the biggest positive. We've put in a great deal of work all summer long, so really, no matter what happens, if you're able to identify some areas of improvement, and we certainly have, and come away with a win, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, you have to be satisfied with that, at least on some level.
So a little bit of the negatives from last week. I think you guys had 12 penalties. Just what was the message to the team after the game, and how have you guys addressed that this week?
One of the things that we've told our kids that is that you can't live an undisciplined life in many areas of your life, but all of a sudden be disciplined in other areas. So we've challenged them to try to be more disciplined in all avenues of their life. And then, again, there's been a definite emphasis on being disciplined pre-snap in practice.
So moving on to this week, a name I've heard nonstop since I've got here with Helias playing them last week and you guys this week is Aeneas Williams. So just you guys got your first taste of him last year. Just how special of a player is he, and how are you going to be able to stop him?
He is a very talented player, and I currently have no idea. That's why we scheme, and that's why we try to put our kids in the best spot. But our goal isn't just to stop him. Our goal is to try to win the football game. So we're going to try to contain him while trying to slow down the rest of their team as well. But ultimately, we hope to score more points than they do.
So scoring more points than them, rolling off of that, just what did you notice about the offense last week, positive takeaways, and just how is that going to carry over into this week?
Positive takeaways would be that we did have a number of kids making their first start. I said earlier that Marty Smith from ESPN has a video where he mentions that nothing in his adult life gave him the same feeling that he had on Friday nights playing high school football in the fall. So I think that's one of those things where if you've never played in that type of environment, if you've never played in a high school football game, how can you possibly be used to what it feels like? We talk to our kids a great deal about where their attention is directed and having good eye discipline. So hopefully those are a couple of the things that we're not going to have to worry about any longer because of the experience last Friday night.
All right, that was Jays head coach Damon Wells. And Trevor, every team wants to start off week one with a victory. Jays were able to complete that, so that's a good thing. What were kind of maybe a couple just impressions that you had about that 41-19 win at Osage last week?
So the biggest thing is they did not play their best football at all.
Okay.
A lot of penalties, especially pre-snap, just a lot of mental mistakes and didn't tackle well. But the thing I kept saying to coach and coach kept saying to me is that if you're going to not play your best football, it's nice to do it in a blowout win.
Sure.
And that game was really close at halftime. It was 14-6. The Jays were up at halftime with Osage getting the ball coming off half.
Right.
And then you look up, and early in the fourth quarter, it's 34-6, Jefferson
sure.
City. So, whatever message was put on the Jays at halftime definitely reciprocated. And, they came out, and then they looked like a completely different team in that second half. So, there was a lot to take away, and not necessarily all of it was great, but if you're going to have those learning moments with a young team like they have, doing it in a win is the
sure.
way you want to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, if coaches don't come away from a game with something to talk about, then that means you're either fantastically good in that game, and that's a rarity, or your season is over because you've got nothing to talk about because you're not talking to them anymore. So I'm sure coaches always have plenty to talk about. And yes, it's better to win ugly than, you know, lose pretty, but it's one of those things where you go, okay, what are, you know, what do you dial in on, and what do you kind of look at? What do you think, and maybe your opinion, was the biggest thing that you saw from them? Is it just playing the way they did in the second half, playing that way for four quarters? Is it something specific that they changed that made it work better? What do you think that it was that maybe made that first half look kind of ugly that made the second half look better?
It was a lot of just mental mistakes in the first half.
Okay.
And they cleaned it up for the most part in the second half. And like I mentioned earlier, penalties, they just kept derailing drives on offense.
Yeah.
They were behind the chains a lot. And in their type of offense, that's just not something you want to do.
Sure.
With the wing T system.
Right.
They only attempted 6 passes last week, and a lot of them were screen passes. But, I mean, if you're sitting in a 3rd-and-15, 3rd-and-20 situation, you're just not going to convert many of those situations if you're the Jays with the wing T.
And I'm sure that's not a team that they want to be. They don't want to be in those situations. So, therefore, it kind of alters what you're able to do, or what you're able to pull from in those sort of situations. So I imagine just maybe cleaning that up will be simple. That's also, to me, I think, a week one problem. I mean, that's, you're going to find that from a lot of teams where you go, maybe things are not as sharp as you would like them to be. It's easier to maybe have everybody on the same page when you don't have the crowd noise, you don't have the stadium noise that you would have in a regular game. So maybe that's something that once they've gotten a little bit more used to it, you can clean up. You hope, you know, we'll see, I guess, this week if that is a continuing trend or if that's just a one-game blip. That's the hard thing about a one-game sample size, is I guess you just don't know that at this point.
And something he mentioned in the clip that you guys heard from Coach Wells is it was a lot of these kids' first Friday Night Lights experience. And he mentioned it, you don't know what that's like until you see it.
Sure.
So, I mean, there's a lot of nerves headed into that. And, yeah, there's generally going to be some mistakes. And I mean, a lot of them just weren't pretty and not something you like to see, but it was cleaned up some, and he does believe that's going to be something that's cleaned up this week. And against a good Hannibal team, it's going to have to be.
Yeah. And again, you're 1-0, that's what you want to be. You're 1-0, your opponent this week is 0-1. You know, you're going to be hosting Hannibal, 7 o'clock Friday night at Adkins Stadium. Hannibal, you know, had a pretty decent showing, but came out on the short end of a 31-21 decision to Helias last week. So, obviously, I think it's easy to say, but I think the level of competition goes up this week. Therefore, your level of play has to go up this week, too. So, you know, what kind of, you know, threat maybe or problems does Hannibal pose for the Jays this week?
So, the Jays gave up, 263 yards rushing last week against an inferior Osage team. And against a run-heavy attack that Hannibal's going to bring with 4-star recruit Aeneas Williams that I've heard just nonstop about these last 2 weeks, has an Alabama offer, an extremely talented kid.
Sure.
They're going to have to tackle in space, which is something that I was told in the preseason is going to be a strength of this team, and I believe still will be a strength of this team. We just didn't see it last Friday.
Okay.
And so Friday, they are absolutely going to have to make sure that at least two helmets are by the football, especially if Williams has it, to make sure that they can bring him down and it doesn't take 10, 15 yards to get him down. And, I mean, that's just not something we saw last week, and it's something that the team knows they have to clean up.
Right. In an instance where you know you have one spectacular player, obviously you're going to game plan for him with your defense. You're going to scheme up ways to kind of deal with something like that. But I also think sometimes you can scheme it up with your offense as well. And sustaining drives, making sure you're efficient with your drives, making sure you get the most out of your drives is going to probably be equally as important for them, I think, on tonight, because it's the sort of thing where you go, if we can just keep the ball out of Hannibal's hands, that's going to go a long way towards probably determining who wins this one.
Yeah, and something I love to say is the best defense is offense. As long as you're not turning the ball over, the other team cannot score if you have the ball. And Helias laid the blueprint down of how to beat this Hannibal team last week.
Mm-hmm.
Hannibal got to run 3 plays in the entire third quarter.
Right.
3 and out, They never touched the ball again in that third quarter. Yeah. They got two first downs in the whole second half.
Yeah.
And that was because Helias was holding the football, slow, methodical drives, which is what the Jays' offense is built to do.
Sure.
With the wing T system. So if you're dinking and dunking them 3-4 yards at a time, running the football down their throat, wearing them down,
right.
especially with a team that's going to have a lot of players playing both ways,
sure.
you wear them down on the defensive side of the ball, it's only going to make it that much easier on when you're on defense
sure.
trying to stop their offense.
Absolutely. I think it's easy to say, and I heard a couple of teams, and I heard, you know, it was kind of the typical week one thing. Some teams had issues with cramping, with maybe not being in the best of condition last year. I talked about it in an earlier podcast with Kyle McIravy, that I don't think this maybe was the hottest of preseasons from the standpoint of, I don't think we got that blazing heat that sometimes gets you in game shape because you get the cramping out of the way during preseason workouts. I think some teams had some problems with that last week. Anything you see from that standpoint from the Jays, and how do you feel like maybe the conditioning aspect of it played out last week?
Oh, cramps were a major issue last okay. week. I can't count how many people went and saw the trainer and just had different styles of leg cramps and just getting worked on with that. And, I mean, yeah, that's a week one thing. That's always going to be a week one thing. And like you just mentioned, if you don't have the hottest of hot camps over the summer
right.
and it just doesn't force you to get in that condition, and, I mean, we don't know how long that's going to be an issue. That's
sure.
really not something the players can control. But, yeah,
right.
I mean, cramps were definitely an issue last
week. But the one thing you can't control, and maybe this again goes to, by the same token that you said, some of these guys hadn't played in a big game atmosphere before. Some of these guys have maybe not necessarily always prepared for the amount of exertion that's going to go into a varsity game, where you're going to have to hydrate differently than you maybe do when you're playing a JV game, where you're maybe not playing as hard or not playing as many reps. For some of these guys, if they're getting bigger roles than they've had in the past, your hydration is going to have to be different for that symptom, and that's not something you're going to learn until you learn it the hard way. You learn it from the cramps, and then you realize, I don't want to have to go through that again. So that's a learning process too. So maybe that's a thing where we see them, you know, again, as the same way you can adjust offensively and defensively, you can adjust your hydration too. So maybe that's something we hopefully won't see as much this week.
And like, the hydration can't be fixed once the game starts. That
sure.
has to start
right.
way further in
sure.
the day.
Sure.
And it's something that these kids probably don't think about very
right.
much.
Sure.
And so, yeah, if you start to feel dehydrated there in the first quarter and you start cramping,
right.
it's going to happen the rest of the game. There's
right.
really nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a learning curve situation. I don't think it'll be a problem for much longer.
Yeah. We were talking a little bit off air before we started recording. You'd said something that Coach Wells has got an interesting idea of what it takes to, you know, be a rebuilding team, and has a process that he thinks you know the normal blueprint follows. Tell the people a little bit about what it is and what his steps are at this point.
So yeah, he quoted quite a few people to me in the short time we talked this week, and I forget who this quote came from, but he said the 4 steps to rebuilding a program is 1. Lose big, and they took care of that twice last year against Hannibal, losing 40-13 in week 2 on the road, and then 47-0 in the district championship. He said step 2 is lose small, step 3 is win small, and step 4 is ultimately win big. The Jays want to at least take step 2 this week.
Sure.
Getting blown out by a district opponent that you are likely going to see in the postseason just can't really happen for a confidence standpoint
right.
of a young team.
Right.
So if you're going to lose this game small. And, you know, I'm sure everybody just wants to go ahead and skip step 2.
Sure.
And go ahead and go to step 3.
Well, I was going
to
say, if possible, could we possibly skip that step? I guess we'll find out. But yeah, ideally, I get what he's saying. It's just that, you know, I think it's interesting to think that, okay, if that's the plan, I would like to skip part of the plan.
Yeah. I mean, if there's going to be 4 steps in the plan, you want to make that 3 steps. You never
sure.
want to lose. I mean, that's
right.
100% right. But for a confidence standpoint, if you do keep this game close, if you do happen to see them in the postseason again,
sure.
you have a talking point to that team, and right. there's those 2 or 3 things, mistake-wise, that you make in a game where, like,
yeah.
if we fix this, we come out on the right side of that football
right.
game. Why can't we do that this week? So I think that's what he was trying to get at, and I mean, I definitely understand the point. Everybody wants to skip step 2.
Sure. I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast. I think that you've already spoken about what the big key of the game is. So I guess how likely is it that they are able to, you know, limit the impact of Aeneas Williams this week, and how likely do you see that happening, and how do you see it plays out on Friday night?
One more thing we didn't talk about with the running game, their backup last week, Markell Humphrey. I know he didn't get a lot of attention from Hines, but got 159 yards on the ground and 13 carries.
Yeah.
So that's something else to look out for.
Nice backup plan.
Yeah, that's a two-headed monster that you definitely game plan for. We heard Coach say he doesn't know exactly the game plan they're going to throw at him, but it's going to be a lot of different schemes. Step one is going to have to be take care of the football, hold on to the football. Mm-hmm. I think they can do that. I definitely think this game stays close. Home atmosphere at Atkins Stadium, a lot of excitement around the program, first time seeing him this year. That's definitely going to help him. I'm going to predict the Jays to win this game. We'll go 27-21, Jays.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's TrevHahn3. Thanks for listening.